Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can feel free to call them in at area code 646-716-4893. Or if you're feeling a little radio shy, you can feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I'm waiting for my monthly guest host to come online, Dr. Hooper. He may have been held up a little bit tonight. And we just spoke last night, so he's aware about the show tonight, so hopefully he'll be coming on here soon. I'd like to say good evening to everybody. I hope you had a good holiday on Thursday, Thanksgiving. Sometimes holidays can be a very distressing time for people, that we're going to be talking about that tonight. But before we do, I did want to mention about my upcoming healing weekend. It's really coming along now. I confirmed the plans. I have the links. And it's going to be in Dulles, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. And it's going to be in April 23rd and 24th. And with the dynamic women we have in the Virginia area, I know it's going to be a wonderful conference, with so much going on and some wonderful guest speakers who are part of the network and women who are therapists and counselors who will be joining us. And it will be a wonderful time to bond and to heal. It's a wonderful weekend. There's no charge for the weekend. You do have to pay your way there, of course, and pay for your room and for one dinner. But short of that, there's no cost for the entry fee for the, this is my gift to our women, you know, once or twice a year. So it'd be wonderful to meet you. We had a wonderful time at our last healing weekend here in Philadelphia. Some wonderful friendships were made. Some real significant progress was made by the women who attended here. You know, everybody's on the move. And there were some people who've been through this for a while. They were wonderful in giving support. And then there were some people who were just starting out who really needed the support. And we had a chance to meet our wonderful straight sisters here. And there's nothing more empowering than being in a room with 25 people who can all relate to whatever you're feeling, where you don't even have to say a word, where you have a common bond, and where people know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, even though every situation is different, and it is. It doesn't mean that we can't understand it because we all have the same kind of emotional feelings. We've all been through this, and it's an amazing thing that, you know, we all have that commonality. So it's a wonderful weekend. If you can get away in April, I'd love to meet you. It's my pleasure to be able to do these weekends and help people move along their healing. Just write to me at Bonkaye, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, at AOL, and .com. That's Bonkaye at AOL.com. As we're sitting and waiting for Dr. Hooper to come on, you know, we'll talk about a few other things. Getting back to the holidays, I know what a very rough time it is for people. And I think that all of us who have a loss, you know, really feel it the most on the holidays. I never like to really bring in too much about my own personal business. Today was a rough day for me. Today was the death day anniversary of my son, Jason, who died 10 years ago today. And even though it's been 10 years, it was still so raw when I went to the cemetery, you know, to see his stone there. And you think, boy, this was a young man who was 23 years old, who was so full of life. But unfortunately, he was born with a very rare disease that took his life eventually in time. But he really tried to live each day to its fullest. You know, he packed in 25 hours in a 24-hour day and enjoyed every day of his life. He went traveling. He went all over, made so many friends who just loved him. And he was just a caring, kind, wonderful person who had his share of illnesses and sicknesses, but who never looked at that half-empty glass. He always looked at the half-full glass. He was a role model to people who had his condition, which aren't very many in this country. It was a very rare condition. And he really thought he had beat the odds, but it was a disease that, you know, eventually took his life because that's what it does to people who have it for the most part, and sooner or later. He lived longer than many people live with this. But my point is that none of my holidays since I lost my daughter first and then my son have ever been the same for me. So I've had to make some new traditions, and I think that's what really the holidays are about for people who have loss. And if you have a broken family right now and you're on the verge of facing these holidays, and the holidays are such a rough time, and I would like to talk a little bit about that. You know, in my last newsletter I addressed that. And we'll talk a little bit about that last newsletter because I think that kind of will give you the information that you need to understand it better in case you did not have a chance to read it. So let me just grab that while we're waiting for Dr. Hooper. And here was the article I wrote about it's that time of year coming up again. It said, yes, it's a holiday season on its way again. The season starts with this upcoming week at Thanksgiving and will last for the next 3 months, ending on Valentine's Day. In between, you'll have to deal with Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. For some of you, this will be the first holiday with your life in the state of total turmoil because you are learning to have learned, you are learning or have learned the truth, but you're still stuck where you are. For others, it will be the first holiday season split as a family, and in some cases, you will be feeling very alone. And for others, it will be the early years in the recovery process. early enough to remind you that these holidays can really make you depressed. I don't have a magic solution to this, or I would give it to you. I swear I would. Holidays are horrible for me because of the loss of my two children. They will never be the same. The loss of something you love so much, such as a family unit, is very painful. And no matter how lighthearted I could make it, it would sound as giving you some good tips. Many of you aren't ready for them. And guess what? That's fine. You know, we don't all heal at the same, you know, way. We all deal with pain in different ways. And in the same way, we all heal in different paces. No two situations are the same, and no two women are expected to heal at the same rate. There are so many different variables involved here. For those of you who had wonderful marriages, and I think those are the hardest ones, and I do get women who are part of our network who were just so blindsided, they thought they had the best marriage. The hurt is much stronger. You feel like your life was torn away from you right in front of your eyes. There were no signs, no real problems. Lots of love, and even if that didn't translate into making love, lots of warm times filled with laughter while you were going through life with your, quote, best friend. For those of you who are coming out of less than wonderful marriages, the hurt is still there. You realize that you've lost a chunk of your life that you can never get back. All the dots are finally getting connected. You feel better knowing the truth, but you still resent having lived with the lie for all these years, wondering why you could never please your husband, no matter how hard you tried. You suffered from emotional and sometimes physical abuse. The scars have been deep for years as you've lived in a state of depression because you didn't know the truth of why your husband didn't love you. Some of you will reject the holiday parties and settle instead for a pity party. I say enjoy yourself if you want to have one. There's nothing wrong with having a pity party every now and then because it's part of the grieving process. Don't feel guilty if you want to indulge for a day or two. Just try not to get stuck there for too long because they can make it hard to give up if you let yourself linger. Set a time frame, one afternoon, one evening, or one day party. Buy yourself something that you really love to eat. Or if you're not an eater, maybe you're a drinker. Even if you make yourself a hot fudge sundae with 6 scoops of ice cream, that's perfectly fine. You're entitled to a little instant satisfaction. If you feel like being alone, then stay alone. Don't let people talk you into doing something you don't want to do because they think it's not good for you to be alone. I like to be alone during these times. I don't feel like people telling me I should be thankful for all I have or how I should feel or how I should have started getting over it by now. I'd rather sit home and watch a Law and Order marathon or play some mindless computer game. Those are luxuries for me. Find something that's a luxury for you and indulge. That's the fun of the pity party. You can be miserable, but enjoy at the time alone by doing things that make you feel good momentarily. The most important thing to realize is that life is changing or has changed. It may be a horrible time for you, and there's nothing wrong with acknowledging it. Life will get better when you are ready to let it, and there's no time limit for healing. And that's what the article said, and that's really how I feel. You know, people are always trying to make us feel better or participate in activities, and we may not be ready for them. And you don't have to feel compelled to do things that you don't want to do. You know, one of the things that we say each year, either with Dr. Hooper or with Suzette, who will be on next week, is that people have to learn how to make new traditions and do things that they didn't do in the past. And I know that for some of our women, this has really worked out well. I remember one of our members, Beth, she was really excited one year after, you know, the end of her marriage, which was a really horrible ending. And she wrote to us and told us that she was having a wonderful Christmas, going shopping with her children, buying things, decorating with new things to decorate. Other women have done craft projects, things that they normally would not have done, but their creativity gets going. You know, now they have the ability to do it. They're not under that pressure. So you'd really be amazed at what you can do if, you know, you're given new leeway. And like I say, I'm not trying in any way whatsoever to make this any sound any better than it is. For many of us, it's never going to be great. I know that for Thanksgiving, for instance, I have many offers from families and friends to spend Thanksgiving with them, but I just don't feel like doing it. I go out on Thanksgiving now with a friend of mine who has no attachment to my past. We're work friends now. And we just have a lovely time. We don't have to talk about the past because we weren't part of each other's past. And even though that may sound silly, it feels good for me because when other people are celebrating their families, I don't feel that I'm able to do that. And I'm not saying that's the way you should do it. But for me, that's how I made my new Thanksgiving tradition. And my family understands that it's really hard for me to enjoy the presence of, you know, other family members when I'm not really feeling happy. Thanksgiving was our favorite meal for my children and I when they were growing up. And now all of a sudden they're gone, so it just doesn't have what it had for me before. In fact, I just don't even like the holiday. But I think when I hear all these Christmas songs and carols, you know, holidays to us symbolize family, and they symbolize a matter that, you know, this is family get-together and friends get-together, and everybody expects you to be of a certain holiday spirit. And I guess the point that I'm trying to get across is that you don't have to feel compelled to do that. If you're not into it, then you don't have to be into it. And either people will have to understand, or they're really not your friends and they're not the people who are loving you as they should. So you can make your own traditions, do something different that's not going to remind you and put you back into a space that you would make you so unhappy. Holidays are for enjoying, and maybe you won't be enjoying them the same way. And maybe you won't even be enjoying them, but it doesn't mean you have to be miserable. It means you have to find something you like to do. Make something fun for yourself, and go enjoy it and do it. And you can sometimes get lost in a movie on Christmas Day or during that week. I know that when I go to the movies many times, especially with these new big movies that they have, you know, they're very mega movies, and you're right there on top of the sound system. You can really get lost in the movie, so I think that's always a good idea. Also, if you do need support during the holiday time, all you have to do is ask me. And I'm more than available for anybody who's looking for support to either match you up with other, you know, pain pals, or have you, you know, become part of the great support network. Send you my newsletters, whatever it takes to get you through these holidays, that's what I'm there for. So while we're on the subject, and I see that Dr. Hooper's still not here, even though I did send him a note, I would like to talk to you about something that I haven't talked about for a long time. And for people who are going through stages, you know, gay husband recovery, we had one of our members in Houston, Wendy, who did a beautiful recovery map. Of course, these are based on her experiences of recovery, and she was in a long-term marriage, and she wasn't very happy, and when the marriage broke up, eventually, and she was stronger than she ever knew. But she went through a whole myriad of emotions, and she was able to put them down and articulate it better than anyone who I've ever read. And a lot of times, when people hear these signs and they see which way they're going, then they understand, you know, all these emotions, how they affect you. So I'm going to go over Wendy's list for you. It's called Wendy's Recovery Map. And her first phase of the map was when she first found out. And she called it shock and awe, also known as the nightmare I can't wake up from. These were all the feelings that she had during that time. She was felt shock, betrayal, fear, questioning, no trust, clues missed, clues seen, relief, confusion, fragile, disbelief, shame, anger, despair, weak, blindsided, no dots connect, secrecy, crisis, foolish, inadequate to cope, embarrassment, deer in headlights, can't think beyond the feelings, worry, worry, worry in so many directions, overwhelmed, can't breathe, isolation, so alone. How did this happen? And this was her first phase, and this lasted, she said, about 6 months. And I think that we all go back and forth through this whole list of emotions, you know, every time we're first learning about this. I think that we can all relate to this so well. The shock at first, then the feeling of betrayal when we find out. And we are scared. We do feel the fear. How is our life going to change now? And we do start questioning, what did I miss? I mean, why is this happening? How could this be happening? I love him. Doesn't he love me? The no trust. When somebody betrays you, can you trust them again? The clues missed. I mean, this is one that most women suffer through the most. Clues missed. Why couldn't I see those red flags waving in my face? Well, I always tell women, you can't be too hard on yourself. The truth of the matter is, a lot of times we can't read those flags and we don't understand them. We are not socialized in growing up realizing that gay people are marrying us. Why would we even think that was what the issue was? Or the clues that were seen. Well, if we would have seen them, we would have probably made up something for them. Because this is not something that's really conceivable or something that women can really see. And how about feeling fragile? I think we all do. The disbelief. I don't want to, even if I think I saw it, I don't want to believe it. Feeling the shame, you know, when you find out your husband could be gay, we feel a sense of shame. We feel embarrassment that we're not women enough to keep a man, that he has to go and look for another man. Anger. Yes, we're angry because everything, all of a sudden our life is one big flop. Despair. Yes, we feel the despair and the weakness. The feeling blindsided. Like, how did this happen? We had no clue because many times when our husbands first announce that they have something to tell us, we are totally blindsided. Then it said, no dots connect. That's true because how do you connect dots like this? Like if you're playing the game Connect the Dots, nothing's connecting here. You feel foolish. I know I used to feel that way and inadequate to cope. You know, a lot of times, I don't know how women do it because it was always a cloud over my head, the gay cloud, and that's all I could think about. No matter how I diverted it or how I tried to get away from it, it was still always there, always worrying when my husband would walk out of the door, what would happen. Can't think beyond your feelings, well, because I was afraid to feel anything, and worry, worry, worry in so many directions, that's what I used to do. Feeling overwhelmed and can't breathe, and I would add one more to that, throwing up, because I did a lot of throwing up in those beginning days. Every time I would envision the scene in my head, it would make me throw up. So that's all part of phase one. Now, if we're moving on to phase two, that's called surface acceptance, according to Wendy. She also knows it as swim so I don't sink. And these are some of the things that came in phase two, which really started like after the first 6 months to a year. She said having to handle everything, overwhelmed in a new way, making choices alone, dealing with the nitty-gritty of separation and filing for divorce, dealing with accounts, paying the bills, dealing with housing, breaking the news to the kids, dissolving joint accounts, getting utilities in your name, deciding how to wear your rings, deciding who should know and who should not know, deciding how much to tell, attempts to negotiate, peeling away from him, looking in all of your belongings in a new way, forcing yourself to put one foot in front of the other, weary of it all and it's just begun, keeping busy so as not to feel, establishing new routines, taking on more part-time work, facing family and close friends, finding a new normal, being careful about keeping kids protected, watching what you say about him, resentment about everything, looking forward with dread. And I think these feelings and emotions that Wendy wrote about are so raw. And that's exactly how I was feeling during that period. You know, went from worse to worser. And so many of these different feelings that she was having, all of a sudden you have to make choices alone, and you're responsible for the bills, and you have to struggle and juggle everything as a single mother. And so many new responsibilities that you weren't looking to take on when it deals with the housing. And how do you tell the kids this? And what do you tell the kids? And how are you going to tell the kids? And then negotiating. I mean, there's so many things that Wendy really struck right on the head here that I went through. Then she said for phase three, which is wrestling with reality, also known as the mountain is still there to climb and having to think, is this all there is? So in other words, she's saying that after the first 6 months, after the first year, okay, doesn't mean it's an easy trip. Now you have to go through a whole new set of emotions and issues that you really weren't thinking about before. So let's see what she went through there. Pressure to be over it by now. And isn't that true? How many of us are pressured by family members and so-called well-meaning friends saying, why are you harboring this? Why are you still hanging on to this? Can't you get over it? Other people get over bad marriages. You know, they have no clue. Less family rallying support. Like in the beginning, everybody's behind you because, you know, they feel sorry for you. Well, after a year, they're not feeling sorry for you anymore. They're saying you should be over it and you should be able to make it on your own. You're weary of stage two, ready to go back to handling less, but without him. And you're stuck, but there is no roadmap to follow. You know, who gives us any kind of roadmap? Wendy gave us one here, but she didn't have any to follow. And the uncertainty, we don't know what's going to happen. Which way is forward? Your anger resurfaces, and that's one of the things I want to mention to you. Anger is an emotion during this gay husband, you know, recovery process that comes back and forth. It ebbs and tides, you know, it goes back and forth depending on what your situation is. Sometimes you think you're past it, but all of a sudden you're back with it again. You're weary of handling, okay, so here's another one, stuck with no roadmap. Which way is forward? I don't want this new life. I don't want him to see me dealing. I don't want him to think he's off the hook. You know, we try to be strong, is what she's saying, that, you know, we don't want him to see that we have to maneuver everything. We also don't want him to think that he has no responsibility, because a lot of times these guys will pick up and move along, and they don't look back. The sadness resurfaces, and maybe there will never be someone, a partner. Wasted time, you think to yourself, I've already given him 20 years of my life, 15 years, 10 years, 30 years. I've never really been loved. I mean, so many women, all of a sudden the realization comes when their husband tells them, well, I can't love you that way. But they've never been loved. The fear of the unknown. Questions. To tell the kids the whole truth or not. Who should be the one to tell? I mean, this is something that we as straight wives really have to go through. It's not like other marriages where you can just say mommy and daddy are breaking up. They had differences. You know, when the children thought you had a good marriage and all of a sudden you have to tell them the marriage really wasn't that good because we had differences. You know, do you tell them the truth? Do you have to tell them a lie? I mean, that's a very big issue for us. To tell others of the past, others of the future, what do you say? Have your questions that were allowed to be put off earlier. Should you sell the house and downsize? Change careers to earn more? I mean, these are always things that we didn't have to deal with before. Well, now what? Some of the bad stuff has faded. You're almost tempted to go back. It would be easier in some ways. And some women kind of fantasize about the days when they were with their gay husbands, you know, taking away that image of the bad stuff and just really fantasizing and romanticizing about the good stuff. You're lonely, but you're afraid to get out of there. Trying to move forward, but it's so hard sometimes, especially when you're raising children and you're working full-time and taking care of a house. running duties, chores, shopping. I mean, we are exhausted. The next phase is phase four, and this really comes around the third year, a new reality. The wounds have healed, living with scars, accepting and adjusting. You have acceptance. I am a divorced woman who was married to a gay man. I did not cause this to happen. It happened to me. He will never understand what he put me through, nor will he ever apologize for it. This is not what I envisioned for my life, but it is what it is. I will be okay. This will not consume me anymore. I did the right thing in choosing to leave a toxic relationship, even though it meant breaking vows. More inner peace and self-sufficiency. Less wrenching heartache, more joy. Able to be alone and not lonely most of the time. Putting my story in writing and sharing with others to give support. And then she wrote adjustment. I am responsible for everything now, from tires to taxes to tending the house, making all the decisions about my present life and my future. Still learning to cope with all of this singleness and stillness in the house. Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday afternoons, dinner times, weekend, holiday weekends. Waves of anxiety are intertwined with true contentment and self-confidence. Finding new hobbies and interests. Wondering, should I ever believe in marriage again? Will I ever trust anyone again? Am I too old to have adolescent dreams? How do you know it will work? Is it worth putting myself out there? And then, I'm trying to roll this down. Can I ever trust myself? And then Wendy said, phase five, she still wasn't there when she wrote this. That was a few years ago. She's certainly there now. It might be titled Becoming Whole, and also known as Moving On, where she wrote, setting new goals, venturing out, more taking trips, completing bigger projects around the house, giving back, paying forward, the help and support received along the way, feminine spirit restored, feeling whole with or without a man in my life, looking back with satisfaction, trusting myself, enhancing the future rather than fearing it. And that was her last phase. And she said, on a personal note, if you are reading this map, you have taken a huge step forward. I encourage you to find more steps forward than backwards in your recovery journey. Sometimes a step forward may just be an email change in your mindset. I'm sorry, a small change in your mindset. It will rarely be easy, but you know it's going to be worth it. All journeys are a bit different, but each journey is worth taking to restore one's spirit and become whole again. I hope this map of my own journey will help you get there one day, Wendy. And what a beautiful life map it is. If anybody would like a copy of this, all you have to do is write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to send you a copy of this roadmap. I think that when you look at this and you see how others got through it and what Wendy went through, it'll be so similar to your own recovery that at least you'll have a roadmap to help you along the way. So the good news is that, you know, we all go through the same sense of fear, depression, disbelief, shame, anger. You know, I think a lot of us get really hung up in anger because we look at our lives and we see, this is what I thought I had, but I really never had it. This is what I lost. How will I ever get it back? And sometimes if you've been in a bad marriage, some of these men are just really horrifying. You know, they'll sit and they'll blame you incessantly for the failures in your marriage when you had absolutely nothing to do with it. You know, they'll say that you weren't pretty enough, you weren't nice enough, you weren't supportive enough, you had bad body odor, you had bad breath, you smell bad, you're too busty, you're not busty enough, you're too fat, you're too thin. They'll come up with every kind of thing to make you feel bad because they can't accept that they're just gay and tell you. They'll do anything but tell you the truth. And in that way, they deflect it from themselves And if you think that's love, I don't. You know, I was saying this to Dr. Hooper the other day. I do accept the fact that there are many men out there who get married, and I can give them a pass. You know, first of all, I commend those men who are strong enough to fight it and say, no, I'm not going to marry somebody. I know there's something different about me. Even if they didn't want to say the word gay, they just knew they were not attracted to women. Then there were those men who were not necessarily attracted to women, but they found one woman they were had some kind of magnetic chemistry to, and they thought, if I love her enough, those feelings of liking men are going to go away. But they don't. And then there's those men who, you know, but at least then they're honest with their wives, and I can give them a pass because they haven't gone out there yet and tried it out just to check. They know that they want a man. And they're going to be honest with you and tell you the real truth. And I say mistakes happen. I'm not saying it's a good mistake, because no mistake is a good thing to happen. But a bad mistake would be to stay in the marriage and not tell you why and make you always feel like you're the one failing in the marriage and making you spend years longer than you need to be there. But the other kind of guy who will sit there and blame you and who will accuse you of being the cause of the responsibility of the failure of the marriage and look for ways to, you know, put you in a corner and humiliate you and embarrass you, sexually reject you and make you feel as if it's your fault, those guys I really have a lot of contempt for, because they're taking a beautiful life of someone like you and they're rubbing it out. And, you know, maybe it's not the same as killing you, but it is killing your spirit. And that's why when Wendy says taking back your feminine spirit, we're all born with a feminine spirit, but when you live with the wrong man, that feminine spirit can be destroyed. So it's really important to try to rebuild it again. That's why when women come to me, and some of them have come to me, and they say, I have to be honest with you, you know, I had an affair with somebody else because I just wasn't getting anything from my husband. I just felt like such a failure. Believe me, I know how it is. I don't condemn it. I say you do what you have to do. I know that I did what I had to do, so who am I to condemn anybody? I was in the same boat. You know, you feel so neglected, and you start thinking, oh, my God, you know, there's something wrong with me. So when somebody comes around and says there's something really good about you, you know, who makes you feel good, well, then it's a whole new story. Then you start saying to yourself, well, maybe it's not me. So whatever it takes for you to get out of that funk, but it's not always that easy, especially when you have men who are controlling and narcissistic and borderline personalities. So I think Dr. Hooper's probably not going to be joining us tonight. And it's been a long day for me, so I think if I hang up early and say goodnight early, everybody here will understand. Just a few last things. For our friend Jen in Houston, Jen, I just hope you're doing better every day. I miss you and I love you. Jen's a member of our group who had some problems, but, you know, physical problems, but I know you're going to beat them. And to the rest of the women who need support, that's why I'm here. You know, they always say that, you know, you have to have a mission in life and you have to have a purpose. And people have said to me, how did you manage not only losing one child, but losing two children? How do you survive? What makes you go on? And I have to be honest with you, the only way I can go on is because I have a purpose. Because I feel that my work isn't done, and because there are women out there who are leading their life in blindness, not knowing what the problem is, and they need someone to show them the light. And, you know, I'm not a genius, and I'm not some kind of magician. I'm just someone who has clarity on the subject and someone who can make you feel better by making you feel that there's nothing wrong with you. You are not the problem. So that's my mission, is to try to help you. So if you need the help, please write to me. If you would like a copy of Wendy's recovery list, I'm more than happy to send it to you for her recovery map, because maybe it'll give you some guidance and hopefully you can restart your life over again and find the happiness that I was able to find through the love of a wonderful man who I'll be celebrating 22 years with coming up next month in January. And so I was able to restart my life. And if I can do it, you can all do it if you want to do it. But some women are very happy just being on their own and find that happiness within themselves. And that's perfectly fine, too. As long as you're happy, that's what matters. You're given one chance to go through life, and you weren't meant to go through it to suffer. Trust me, you're there to enjoy it. So I hope you have a good week, and I'll be back next week with Suzette, our coach, Suzette Vernon. And also on Sunday, I'm going to be having a special radio show this coming Sunday night. And some of you may remember Tara, who was on our show a few weeks ago. Tara Health got, and I had some technical issues last week with my computer, so I couldn't get her on the show. So I am doing a special show for this Sunday night, so I'll have two shows coming up. One for Sunday night, that will be with Tara at 8 o'clock, and the other one will be with Suzette for Monday night at 9 o'clock. And by the first of the year, I'm going to be switching myself back to Sunday night because I think it works really better for me. Hopefully it will for you too, but you can listen anytime you want, live, or you can listen anytime thereafter. So my love to you all, my straight wives, my straight sisters, realize you are not alone, and realize that you inspire me as much as I inspire you. Have a wonderful week. I love you. Goodbye. And then I'm going to play a song for you to fade out. Okay? Let's see if I can get it on louder. It's like one of my favorite songs. All right, well, I can't. I'll play another song that really cheers me up. You ready?
Please, teacher, teach me something. Nice, teacher, teach me something. I'm as awkward as a camel. That's not the worst. My 2 feet haven't met yet, but I'll be teacher's pet yet, 'cause I'm going to learn to dance on birds.
Nothing's impossible. Nothing. I have found when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
I'll get some self-assurance if your endurance is great. I'll learn by easy stages if you're courageous and wait. To feel the strength I want to, I must hang on to your hand. Maybe by the time I'm 50, I'll get up and do a nifty.
All right, I'll show you again. Now remember, 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right.
That's the right.
And turn. All right. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I know, I'm fine.
Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
Listen, no one could teach you to dance in a million years.
Good night, listeners. Talk to you next Sunday with Tara. Bye-bye.